Okay, this is Mitch Fincher with Buddy Fincher. It's December 19th, 2014. And I just asked Dad to tell us some about his experiences with airplanes. So this is just audio.
Okay, we just started.
Yeah.
My first remembering of airplanes was back when we lived at Fort Griffin. And Mother and Daddy were running the Fort Griffin General Merchandise Store. And that we came over to Albany one afternoon, and there was airplanes landing out just north of Albany in the Casey's, on the Casey Ranch. And that was the only airport we had, and it was just a grassy pasture. And I still remember seeing the airplanes, getting to go up to them, and I was probably somewhere between 3 and 5. And I remember getting to go up and even look in them, and then we saw them flying, and that was it was a whole afternoon ordeal when the airplanes came to Albany. And that's my first remembrance of airplanes. And that how exciting it was just to be around them, and I hadn't ever forgotten that. But then back later on, and back during the war, when many of the men had gone, I was probably somewhere between 8 and 10, and we were out chopping cotton on Mr. Mobley's place south of Albany. And I remember out there, it was hot and sweaty, and I'd look up at these airplanes, and they were training pilots that had come out of Stamford. I didn't know where they came from. They just showed up nearly every day, and they were out doing acrobatics, and they were teaching these pilots how to fly. And this is the thought I have thought of many times since then. Man, I wish I was up there, and he was down here chopping this cotton. And then when I was over in Europe, when all of Europe was socked in, and the UK was socked in, and we were down below minimums, and I thought, man, I wish I was down there chopping cotton and somebody else was up here, because it looks like this could end in a very unsavory manner. And I was very blessed and fortunate I never had to make a parachute landing. And that the airplanes, a good airplane's one that'll take you off and land you at the desired airfield. And so those were my first encounters with airplanes. And even as a young boy, I always thought that's something that I would probably like to do. And so when it came time to go to college, and I was very blessed to get a scholarship to go down to Texas A&M, and as I went down there, I found out they had an ROTC, and everybody there had to be in the ROTC, so it was just a natural, normal thing. And there also was a war going on. They called it the Korean War. This was back in 1950 is when I went to A&M and joined the Corps of Cadets. And that's back when hazing was a part of life, and they started you out being disciplined and being obedient. And so that was a good time for me. And also, we had the general down there that was the Corps Commandant of Cadets. His name was Boatner, and they had an uprising over in Korea. And I just saw him that one time, and he had all of us freshmen out there on the drill field, and he was standing on a flatbed trailer, and he was standing up there with a microphone. And he allowed his how there would be no lying, cheating, or stealing condoned at Texas A&M. And all I could think, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And anyway, he soon was sent over to Korea They had the prisoners of war had an uprising on an island over there, and they sent him over there to get them straightened out. And he wasn't a big man, but I want to tell you, he could instill the fear of God in you. And I was in the Air Force in the ROTC, and with the Korean War coming on, they were drafting people. And so we had to sign a contract that to be exempt from the draft, that we'd sign a contract that we'd be in the Air Force for 3 years. And that was not my plan originally. I was going to be an ag teacher or a county agent, and I was in agricultural education. But as the war proceeded and it came time for graduation as a junior, I signed up for an Air Force career, had a commitment for 3 years, and I wanted to be a pilot, and I wanted to be a jet pilot. And so I took all the tests, and I qualified for the pilot program. And so that started out the desire for the airplanes. Oh, and before I went to A&M, my brother-in-law, Ed Myers, was going through pilot training as part of the Veterans Education Program. And so I went flying with him a couple of times, and that's when we got to go fly around at low level and look at things and chase wild turkeys. And also some of his friends found the cemetery on top of the hill out at Fort Griffin. But the hill was taller than they thought, and they was very, very low when they topped out that hill, and they got to see the cemetery at first hand. But anyway, that was my first ride in an airplane was with my brother-in-law, Ed Myers, and I really did like it. He let me fly, and we went out over the Nail Ranch, and there was a bunch of turkeys out there in the field, and we got down there and looked at them real close, and they couldn't fly as fast as we were, so we went back and landed in Albany, and that really whetted my appetite. And so, being as how I'd already committed for the Air Force, I had to sign up for 3 years to go to pilot training. And so, when I got to pilot training, I found out that they paid you for doing all that. And that was also very exciting. They didn't pay us much. For a second lieutenant, it was $222.22 was our basic pay. And then after I started flying, I got $100 a month for flight pay. And so that really, I thought, we'll never have another poor day. But come to find out, that does not stretch into a steak each month. It stretched into a tube steak. Looked a lot like either bologna or hot dogs. And so, but I went, after I graduated, I had to wait 9 days to be 21 so they could commission me. And all of my other friends were second lieutenants, and they started hazing me because I wasn't. But anyway, after 9 days, I was when I turned 21 after I graduated, then I was a second lieutenant. And I had signed up to go through pilot training down at Laredo because I wanted to stay close to home. And I was approved to go to Laredo, but I had to go to pre-flight training or basic training for the officers down at Lackland. Checked in down there in October of 1954. I had been married for not even a whole month yet. And so my bride, Miss Joanne Seavers Fincher, and I went to San Antonio. And we didn't have any money to speak of. I had been working on a bridge construction crew, making a whole $1.25 an hour. And the week I got married, they brought it up to $1.50. So that was their gift for the newlyweds. And so we went through basic training down there, and we lived in Billy Mitchell Village. And they recommended that join up with another couple, because we didn't have a whole lot of money. And so we tried that for a month, and that didn't work out too good. So the next month we went out and rented an apartment there in San Antonio. And would you believe the cockroaches were big enough that two of them you could ski. And so we stayed there for 2 months before we they had a backlog, is why we had to spend an extra month. And after that, we went to Hondo, and we were in class 56F. And that's where I entered pilot training. And they started us off in a PA-18, which is a Super Cub. That's a two-place airplane. And my first instructor, well, he was off going to American Airlines, and so I didn't see him until I was ready to solo. And but he was had been a crop duster. And so my first ride with him, he showed me how to do crop dusting turns down close to the ground. So I just thought everybody did that. And so anyway, I got my 8 hours in, and the instructor that I was with, he says, you think you can fly this airplane by yourself? And I says, I sure do. And so he got out, and he fastened down his seat belt in the back, and we closed the door on the little old airplane, and I taxied out to the end of the runway. We'd been flying for 45 minutes before that, and we didn't shut the engine down. And as we were taxiing out, everything checked out normal. I checked the mags and all the gauges. And as soon as I pushed the power up, I started rolling down this dirt runway where we were at an auxiliary field. And all of a sudden, something went pow, and the engine started vibrating profusely. I mean, it was shaking. And so I pulled the power back, taxied back in, and my instructor, who was a mortician, he came out, "What's the matter? You afraid to fly?" And I says, "Something happened to the airplane." And we shut it down. What happened? They had checked the compression on that thing, and they just finger tightened the spark plugs, and one of the spark plugs came out. And guess what? With no compression on that cylinder, it makes it run really, really rough, and it shakes a lot. So we found some tools, and we put that spark plug back in there, and we tightened it up good and tight, put the plug wire back on it. And so he says, "You think you can do this?" And I said, "Sure." So I had just watched one guy that soloed before me, and he made three passes trying to get on the runway. And so I thought, boy, I don't think I'm going to have any trouble with this. So anyway, I went ahead and took off and went out there, and I was just supposed to stay in the traffic pattern. I was supposed to shoot two low approaches and then come in and land. So I went ahead and did mine and came in and landed. And whenever we got back to the flight shack, he started checking my records. I hadn't done near all the stuff I was supposed to have to go solo. So here he had to doctor up the books so that he didn't get fired. And so anyway, he turned out to be my regular instructor. And having a mortician that is a real small guy, and anyway, they treated you kind of like dirt, and they keep the pressure on you so that whenever you do have real pressure, you're used to having pressure. So anyway, I was very thankful for all those guys. But I really enjoyed my first ride in that PA-18 and with that crop duster guy. and don't remember what his name was, but anyway, he showed me how to do those crop dusting turns where you come down in, you pull it up, and you kick the rudder in, and you turn around, you head back down, you get down there real close to the ground again. So anyway, I thought everybody ought to be doing this. I didn't know all that was illegal.
Okay, let's wrap up for here.